can work together with their employees. You can find a resolution, and hopefully over the next couple of months, all the virus stuff resolves itself and everybody can keep their jobs. But it's going to take CEOs and employees working together to make that happen.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1942 when the United States Army begins training dogs for the newly established War Dog Program. For more news, find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Well, good afternoon. March, actually it's Friday the 13th, so everyone who's superstitious would have been staying home. Unfortunately, I don't think there are many superstitious people. If you had any chance to go to a grocery store today, the parking lots are full. There are lines in most of the grocery stores, and of course, they're out of all of the things that we would probably want to make sure that we can disinfect. So in any event, today's Friday the 13th. I'm Pat Smits. The program It's the Law. And I'm going to give a few announcements as to some closings. I would say that anyone interested in any of the chamber events, please go onto the chamber website because almost everything has been postponed or canceled. And I think this is true for so many other events, and for good reason. One of the things I did want to mention, if you were listening to the news, you would have heard that Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, has indicated that he's personally going to do something to make sure that all of the hourly employees are somehow going to be taken care of, because we don't think about it often, but many, many people work. For example, the hourly jobs at all of the stadiums, all of the venues, all of the other people who do the parking and maybe the cooking and, you know, the hot dog guy and the drink guy who come around in the stadium. These guys are not going to be working. And so the tragedy of the coronavirus is certainly a tragedy. Won't get into the political back and forth as to why we're not more advanced than we are. But the point is, everybody needs to work together, and I think that was the message, at least I listened to Nancy Pelosi today, and I was very impressed with her message. I know that President Trump was scheduled to speak at 3 p.m. and is, at least now is, recognizing just how serious this is. But in any event, if we have things... you know, there'll be more people who are going to be using the food pantries. There is a food pantry in Clinton. There's also the one here on 31, right opposite from Walmart. And so people who are in the grocery stores doing grocery shopping, pick up a couple extra things. Take it over to the food pantry. I know that recently they've been requesting the one in Flemington, has been requesting pull-ups, especially for 5 and 6, because these are the larger sizes. I know that the diapers and the pull-ups are certainly not inexpensive. So if all can, excuse me, but if all you can afford are a couple extra cans, take them there. It's pretty amazing. I happened to be there with a group recently this week, and we were stuffing food bags that will be given out, and we're trying to get a head start because Easter's coming, and I think that's one of the things that they try to start and give ahead a time, get those stacked up and ready to hand out. And we may not think that there's a lot of need, because this is supposedly a wealthy county, but there really is a lot of need, and that's very important. So the other thing I wanted to do this afternoon is talk about some of the other closings or information that you might not know of. And just before I left my office, I received the message, Hopewell Township Schools will be closed starting on Monday. Not sure how long they're going to be closed, but Hopewell Township, all of the schools will be closed starting Monday. And I'm sure we'll hear announcements, or maybe some of you have heard announcements of what's happening here in Hunterdon County. But the pretty much the consensus out there is that events are going to be postponed, and anybody, even people who are not high risk, really should stay away from crowds. Now, it's not going to be, you're not going to get the coronavirus if somebody just touches you on the arm or, you know, pats you on the back. However, the concern is that it is a virus, it's spread. You've got to be careful about anybody really close, because it could be, you could get it in your mouth, your nose, and maybe even your eyes. It's going to be the problem. So let's be careful out there. And as they said, you know, yes, I'm not saying that disinfectant wipes are not good. They certainly are. But the main thing we all need to do is to wash our hands, and especially if we can wash them with antibacterial soap. So let's be safe out there, and, you know, look in or call your neighbors, especially if they're elderly, to make sure that they don't need something. Be helpful to shop for them, help them shop so they don't have to go to the stores, because the elderly and people with underlying medical conditions are at the most serious risk. So I know everybody's been hearing about the coronavirus. I'm not sure we can hear too much. But the other thing that I wanted to talk about are some, because this is the law program, I'm Pat Smits, and we talk about the law. And a couple things that are of importance as far as the U.S. District Court for the District of New Jersey. They've announced visitor restrictions, and this is all courthouses in the district as the result of the coronavirus outbreak in New Jersey. So the Centers for Disease Control has advised people to take precautions. And so what the district court, federal district court, is doing immediately, they have issued a mandate that certain people do not come to the courthouse, including people who have been diagnosed with or have had contact with anyone who has been diagnosed with COVID-19, the coronavirus. And persons, that's the first. Persons who have been asked to self-quarantine by any doctor, hospital, or health agency. So these would be people who have been in close contact with someone who has been tested and has tested positive for the coronavirus. And all persons who have traveled to any of the following countries within the last 14 days. And the list is China, Japan, Iran, South Korea, and Italy. And they may update and expand that list as soon as they hear more. And also persons who reside or have had close contact with someone who has traveled to one of the countries listed that I've just told you about within the last 14 days, or has resided or have had close contact with anyone who has been asked to self-quarantine. And then the visitors to the courthouse are directed to report any of the possible exposures that they know of to the court security office, court security officers. And anyone attempting to enter in violation with the protocols will be denied entry. And they're also advising people that if they have a scheduled appointment or are otherwise required to appear at one of the courthouses in the District of New Jersey, and you are unable to appear because of the restrictions that I've just mentioned, then any of those people should proceed as follows. Anybody represented by an attorney needs to contact their attorney. Any attorney who has a scheduled appearance before a judge, they are asked to contact the chambers, and so that they can obviously confirm whether or not their case is proceeding. And there are other people, pretrial services officer, need to contact that office. Probation officer, if you're scheduled to meet with a probation officer, contact the probation office. If you're scheduled to be a juror, then you have to contact the jury department for the vicinage, and that would be Camden, Newark, or Trenton to find out what's going on. And as far as the Court of Appeals matters, you have to contact the U.S. Court of Appeals. And bankruptcy court matters, you need to contact the bankruptcy court services for the vicinage, again, if it's Camden, Newark, or Trenton. And for all other matters, they want you to contact the district court clerk's offices. And they will, as far as these restrictions, they will remain in place until it is determined safe to remove them. So that's the federal district court. Now, the state court, and we're assuming we're going to get updates and may get updates. There may be updates today, and certainly we're looking forward to something more on Monday. But there was a March 9th notice that the judiciary is continuing to take preventative measures to reduce the risks of exposure to and the transmission of the coronavirus. So they immediate changes to their business operations, and also there will be further adjustments. So the one thing they're doing is they're making changes to jury management and operations. So the courts, if you've received jury notice, that's for petty jury, there will be no new civil or criminal jury trials to be conducted until further notice. So if you have any questions, you call the courthouse, but make sure that you will not have to appear if you've been noticed to serve on a jury. However, at this point, they are continuing their ongoing jury trials, and they are also continuing grand juries pending communication with county prosecutors and the attorney general for state grand jury. For example, I've recently received a notice for a state grand jury. Actually, I was able to adjourn it because I was expected to be traveling. So at that point, they're continuing the grand juries. At least that's the latest information I have. I really think that this will be, postponed. These grand juries will be also postponed. However, even if juries, if you are a juror and are serving in an ongoing trial, you're not to report if you are sick or at risk of exposure to the coronavirus. So they're taking this very seriously. And they're also adjusting the court calendars to avoid large gatherings at courthouse proceedings. They're staggering appearances. For example, I was in court this morning. My motion was scheduled at 10 a.m. Usually there would be, the judge would be handling something right up until we started, and then there would be other people in the courtroom who would be appearing after our motion. We were the only ones in the courtroom. So they are really trying to be very careful. So they're not going to be bringing together large numbers of people in confined areas. So this really is significant when you're talking about landlord-tenant and small claims calendars, drug court, and children in court waiting areas. So it's, call your attorney. If you don't have an attorney, call the court. So they're also preparing to conduct motions and some hearings and non-jury trials and related matters remotely with the use of video and telephonic equipment. So in those cases, if that's implemented, only judges and staff would be based in the courts, and that would be very limited exceptions. They're going to be finalizing the categories of events that can be handled by phone or video. The courts are training their staff and the judges to conduct court proceedings using video and phone, and they're using and testing psychological. Yeah, that's talking about my cases, not about what's happening in court. Technological capacity and readiness at various levels to make sure that there's the least amount of exposure possible. And so, as I said, they've already implemented a number of these video conferencing. For example, in Hunterdon County, I'm very pleased to say that in the family court, the last proceeding I appeared before, other than the motion today, but actually I had an out-of-state litigant, and she had to come here for most of the trial, but there was one additional matter that needed to be finalized, and only her cross-examination was needed to do it, and so the judge did allow her to appear by video rather than having to fly back to New Jersey once again for another trial date. And that was very effective, very, very effective. We tried it actually with another witness, an older witness, who somehow wasn't able to get it set up. But this is going to be really very helpful. They've been doing for, well, at least the last year that I'm aware of, they've been able to handle some of the proceedings, criminal proceedings, by remotely. Because if you don't know, all of the prisoners all of the people in jail here in Hunterdon County, we don't have a jail in Hunterdon County. The prisoners have been housed in Somerville. So rather than requiring them to be transported back to court here for every proceeding, a lot of that is done remotely. And if you've read the papers, you know that they're no longer going to be housed in Somerset. They're going to be housed in Warren County. And, of course, this creates a lot of problems. I don't know if we really know how much money it has saved, if anything. But that was the idea. The freeholders wanted to save money and thought that they could do that by housing the Hunterdon prisoners in Somerset County. A lot of other non-essential events are going to be canceled. For example, Law Day events, even though that doesn't come up until May. They're also deferring in-person meetings unless they're time-sensitive. They're shifting meetings, committees, councils, Supreme Court committees from in-person to video meetings to the fullest extent possible. So they're suspending all judiciary business related out-of-state travel, even if previously approved. So this is just one area. I'm reporting that because, of course, we are dealing with legal issues. And I think that another thing many attorneys are doing, and in fact, to the extent possible, we're doing telephone conferencing. We're doing telephone meetings with clients instead of having them come to our office. Everything possible should be done to make sure that people have the least amount of contact possible. Now, if you went to some of the grocery stores, you would have wondered if that was the case, but certainly it is. I'm going to be back after a short break. I want to let you know who sponsors these programs and ask you to please, listen to that and, of course, do whatever possible to, our sponsors, they're local, we're local, we're trying to shop locally, and even though, you know, we'll have to do something to help all of our local businesses once this is over. And many of the local businesses will be having a lot of difficulty, and people who are working, as I said earlier, hourly jobs are going to be hard, you know, they're going to be really affected. So whatever we can do to help our neighbors, maybe the one good thing that will come of this is people will realize that they really need to start working together. And this is a common problem. One of the, you know, problem that shouldn't be a problem is that there would be enough vaccine. There would be enough test kits, not vaccine, because there is no known vaccine to prevent the coronavirus. And anybody who thinks it's going to be developed within a week or two is very foolish. But there are certainly test kits. You know, we should have had many more test kits available. And one of the problems has been, you know, who's going to pay for them? I think the consensus is or should be that anyone should be able to be tested. Anyone who thinks they're infected should be able to be tested, and there should be no charge. And, you know, you might be able to say, well, I have medical insurance, so why should the government pay for people who don't have medical insurance? Well, the reason is that, you know, you can get infected by someone who is not insured as well as and as easy as getting infected by someone who is insured. So I think the most important thing is we need to work together. We need to make sure that there are enough test kits for anyone who suspects that they have the coronavirus so that, in fact, we can test everybody who has any inkling that they might be infected. So that's my soapbox. I'm not saying the chamber agrees with me. I don't know what the chamber official policy is. But let's remember out there, the most important thing is to try to isolate to the extent possible anyone who is infected with the coronavirus and to do everything possible that the pandemic, which it is resolved as soon as possible without the thousands and thousands of deaths that could be expected from something like this. Those of you who know me know my husband Dave is a historian, and he can tell you all of the statistics about the Spanish flu outbreak in 1918. Now, granted, it was a different time. However, hundreds of thousands of people died. And, you know, we want to keep that number very, very low and keep the number of people who actually have corona or get corona as low as possible. So there are ways to treat it. In fact, people have been treated and people are, you know, they're isolating as they should and they're self-isolating and, you know, that's what should happen with anyone who thinks that they're possibly have been in close contact or have a coronavirus. So as I said, back in a couple minutes.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Well, I've finally been able to get the weather up, and so if you haven't been outside today, it's just been unbelievable. The temperature has been about 72 degrees. Tonight, it's going to be mostly clear, high of about 35 degrees. By tomorrow, not as warm as today, expected high of about 54 degrees, mostly sunny. So it'll be a beautiful weekend, actually. It's mostly cloudy tomorrow night, again, low of about 35 degrees, becoming sunny on Sunday, high of about 51 degrees, and then on Monday, again, sunny and 47 degrees. I think everybody in the world took off from work today to go to the grocery stores, but if you see anyone who looks like they're a little sunburned, maybe they were out on the golf course or, you know, playing tennis outside, although it seemed to be somewhat windy. Although it was not supposed to be windy, I thought it was windy out there. So let's get back to legal news. And there was a case that might be of interest, of course, to people who live in Clinton Township. And I will, I do live in Clinton Township. And, it's interesting from a standpoint of the zoning and the building inspector, et cetera. But this was an appellate division case. Actually, it was argued on January 7th and decided January 30th, which is a very quick turnaround. And it was a three-judge panel, which is pretty usual in this type of case. And the Jonathan Drill argued the cause for Clinton Township, and this was an appeal from the Superior Court Law Division, and the appellant was represented by an attorney, and of course the respondent, Fair Share Housing Center, was also represented. And the, as I said, Jonathan Drill represented the Clinton Township. So this was what we call a Mount Laurel case. And for any of you who don't understand what this means, it's shorthand. It was a case, Mount Laurel is actually a series of cases recognized, that these cases recognized that the power to zone carries a constitutional obligation to do so in a manner that creates realistic opportunity for producing a fair share of the regional present and prospective need for housing low and moderate income families. And this is the law in New Jersey. You know, this has been a number of years, and each township town has an obligation to provide a percentage of its housing for low and moderate income families. So in this case, The defendant intervener, Clinton 94 LLC, or referred to in this opinion as Clinton 94, appeals from the final judgment of compliance and repose entered by the Law Division on January 9th, 2019, in accordance with the Mount Laurel 4 decision, which was a Supreme Court decision, meaning the, when I say Supreme Court, New Jersey Supreme Court decision. So what happened is the final judgment approved a settlement agreement entered between Clinton Township and the Fair Share Housing Center. The agreement established the township's third round fair share obligation for affordable housing and also provided a plan for its compliance. So on appeal, Clinton 94 argued that the trial court should have required the proposed compliance plan to include overzoning. Now, what's that? I wouldn't have even known if I hadn't read this and a few other cases. But that's planning and zoning for more units than needed to satisfy the township's fair share obligation in order to provide a realistic opportunity of success. And Clinton 94 further argued that the trial court failed to evaluate the feasibility of the sites provided in the township's fair share plan. Well, what happened in this case is the Supreme Court of New Jersey affirmed. So the township has been going on for a long time. Township has spent a lot of money on it because on July 2nd, 2015, the township filed a verified complaint seeking a declaratory judgment establishing that it satisfied its fair share of affordable housing. And this is for its third round Mount Laurel obligation. Now, Clinton 94 is the developer of a property not included in the township's proposed plan as a potential site. And Clinton 94 filed a motion to intervene in the case, and the trial court granted that. The court also appointed Michael Boland as a special master in the case. And this is done when there's just such hands-on needed that it's important to have someone who is, in fact, a specialist to deal with it. And that's what happened here. Following immunity and intervention proceedings, the parties engaged in extensive negotiations. Well, you can imagine, this goes back to 2015. While the township and Clinton 94 failed to resolve their differences, the negotiation process proved successful between the township and FSHC, which was, as I said, they were the Fair Share Housing Center. FSHC, Fair Share Housing Center. So what happened here is the negotiations between the township and the Fair Share, I guess I'll call it Fair Share Center, which entered into an initial settlement agreement in December of 2017. So about 2 years after the case was initiated, they reached an agreement. And then they reached an amended settlement agreement in February of 2018. So the amended agreement set forth the township's total affordable housing obligations and provided a compliance plan in order to meet those obligations. So the agreement recognized that the township, that's Clinton Township, had the following affordable housing obligations. Rehabilitation obligation 10, and then prior round obligation 335. And by the way, just so we're clear about the fair sharing, fair share housing committee. The Supreme Court in the prior Mount Laurel 4, the Supreme Court endorsed their interest in the third round proceedings under review. And at that point, the Supreme Court explained, if a municipality seeks to obtain an affirmative declaration of constitutional compliance, it will have to do so on notice and opportunity to be heard to Fair Share Housing Coalition and interested parties. And the Supreme Court also said that trial courts will be assisted in rendering their preliminary determinations, on need by the facts that all initial and succeeding applications will be on notice to the Fair Share Housing Coalition. I'm sorry, not coalition, it's Fair Share Housing Center and other interested parties. So this is clear. They absolutely needed to be involved in the discussions. So in order to satisfy the township's third round prospective need of 337 units, the agreement identifies multiple compliance mechanisms. It actually included four projects. The Marukan site, which is a 100% affordable site for 58 units and 58 bonus credits. The Lee Compet site, and that was the initial agreement included 89 unit Windy Acres site, but the Le Complete, if that's the way they pronounced it, site replaced Windy Acres since the site included, or I should say contained the same number of units. So that was instead of Windy Acres. And that's a 100% affordable housing site for 89 units. And then there's Headley Farms, which was an inclusionary development for 104 units based on what they call a 26% set-aside. The Alton Place, an exclusionary rental development for 28 units based on 20% set-aside. And as I said, all of the proposed sites except the Marukan site were subject to durational adjustments pursuant to the statute because the township did not have adequate new water and sewer capacity at the time. So these units required water and sewer, and so that was and always is a problem in a rural area. So what this meant is about 65% of the township's proposed third round obligation was subject to a durational adjustment. Now, I recognize there are a lot of people who object to being told that certain areas need to have more affordable housing, and I know that there are many people in Hunterdon County that object. However, this is our law, and I think maybe not by percentage, but many people recognize that there should be an obligation in every town and township. Interestingly, for me, I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, and you know, I'm not saying there was diversity as far as ethnicity, but there certainly was diversity in housing, and it wasn't that there was just one poor section. In general, if you rode up and down the streets in my small town, there would be a big house on each corner and then smaller houses between, you know, between the bigger houses. And this was pretty common. I'm not sure when they started building developments, because they even did that in the small towns at some point. But it probably wasn't until the 60s or maybe the 70s. And once they started building these subdivisions, that, at least in the Midwest, was when we first saw homes that were very similar. And I'm not talking about the Levittown or the Kendall Park. It's just that they were all fairly similar and would have been fairly similar in price. And that's also when they first started, at least in my area, building one-story ranch houses. So getting back to this decision, however, as I said, the township agreed to make substantial efforts in order to obtain access to the necessary public utilities. Now, that's going to be interesting because I think that at least people that we know, people from the Midwest, can't believe that, we live with a septic system, and when we installed new heating, it had to be oil, not natural gas, because there is no natural gas. And in so many of these areas, really, it's not sewer and sewer and gas. It's septic and oil or propane. So when I say gas, I mean natural gas. So anyway, the township agreed to make these substantial efforts in order to obtain access to the necessary public utilities. Well, I think most of us, or many of us, would really hope that they would have done something more to get natural gas in for residents. We all know that there's a big gas line that goes through the township, Clinton Township, crosses 31, just about where the tennis center is, goes through that beautiful, one of the nicest developments in this whole area. Many of them had their backyards dug up. But none of that gas is coming here. So the amended agreement requested the trial court to continue its appointment of the special master for purpose of assisting the township with compliance and also advising the court regarding its efforts to obtain approvals from state and local agencies. And the township also agreed to adopt a housing element and fair share plan, a spending plan, and ordinances providing for the amendment of its affordable housing ordinance and zoning ordinance. So in addition to that, the township agreed to make a $30,000 donation to the organization, to Fair Share Housing Center. And that was going to be used for the advancement of affordable housing. So in this case, the adversary is funding the ability of the organization to talk to people about affordable housing. So Clinton 94, as I said, this developer, filed written objections to the agreement along with a summary of testimony and exhibits from its principal. So its written objections contended that the agreement's proposed compliance plan failed to meet the constitutional standard of realistic opportunity. So in the special master issued a report recommending the trial court approve the amended agreement's proposed compliance plan. This was adjourned because of, somebody needing time to respond. But on March 2nd, 2018, Clinton 94 filed a supplemental written objection letter. And, however, in response, the special master continued to recommend the approval of the amended agreement. And this resulted in a fairness hearing. Everybody who was interested appeared, represented by counsel. and the Township and Clinton 94 each presented expert testimony. And what happened is the Township relied on the testimony of an expert in city planning who previously served as a court-appointed special master in other affordable housing cases. Well, whenever affordable housing cases, which often, at least in rural areas, one of the concerns is whether or not there will be sewer and whether or not there will be water. So in this case, that was one of the reasons they objected. So this goes on, and the special master reviewed the water and sewer issues. The testimony of the expert in city planning, he summarized the agreement and reviewed the water and sewer issues and updated the trial court as to the township's latest compliance efforts. And so the addressing the town's infrastructure issues, and I think that this is important, he explained that Clinton Township has a problem of overcoming the water and sewer issue. And then he said, but the plan even addresses that. And the plan goes so far to say that after a certain period of time, if those issues cannot be resolved or overcome, then the municipality should be considering alternatives to he's considering alternatives in terms of increasing density on the inclusionary sites or finding other sites. So in other words, if they can't septic systems in the areas that they wanted to build, can they find another area where they can get septic? And that, of course, they have to look at, you know, the sites. I mean, you can't just determine that out of the blue. They have to actually do test wells and to determine whether or not it's possible to get what they need to in order to proceed. And of course, the other alternatives would be to see if they can have more people. The density is the question. But I think that most people in Clinton Township would rather not see dense housing. I mean, I think most people out there, one of the reasons people move here is that they will have larger lawns. They will have more of a capacity. So the real estate developer, a real estate developer, David Miskin, testified for Clinton. For Clinton 94. Both the township and the First Share Housing Center objected to him testifying. However, the court consistently sustained objections to answers provided by Mr. Mieskin regarding his opinion as to the various sites' likelihood of success, etc. So then they go through substantially more of this case. It's a very well-reasoned opinion, and as far as the overzoning, apparently this court said the record also supports the trial court's findings that overzoning is not required. Okay, let's play some sponsors, and we're just about ready to finish the program and go to the sports guys. So thanks for listening, and stay safe and well, and, you know, we'll get through this. We always get through tough times, and all we have to do is recognize that this is serious, and we will all take it seriously. And it too shall pass. I'm Pat Smith. See you next week.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is declaring a national emergency to deal with the coronavirus pandemic.
To unleash the full power of the federal government in this effort today, I am officially declaring a national emergency.
President Trump also says that there's tremendous progress in confronting the crisis, including getting more coronavirus test kits ready for distribution. But the president reminds everyone,
again, we don't want everybody taking this test. It's totally unnecessary. And this will pass. This will pass through, and we're going to be even stronger for it.
President Trump speaking in the Rose Garden. And a big day on Wall Street is at the closing bell. The Dow gained 1,985 points to finish at 23,185. The S&P rose 230. The NASDAQ jumped 672 points as well. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss. Does the sound of guaranteed income have you thinking about buying an annuity? Find out why Fisher Investments considers annuities about as attractive as a migraine, with their nosebleed-level fees, no easy way out once you're in them, and other pitfalls. If you have $500,000 or more, call Fisher at 1-800-859-5500 for your free guide, Annuity Insights. 1-800-859-5500. It's your retirement. Know what to ask.
Friends and family, did you have a great night's sleep last night? I did. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I work better than I ever have. And you know what? You can have that health. You can have that good night's sleep if you order a MyPillow. Try it. Mike Lindell guarantees it. He's got a 60-day money-back guarantee on the MyPillow and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
Cruise lines are continuing to take action as the coronavirus spreads. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Two major cruise lines are staying ashore as coronavirus spreads. Princess is stopping all cruises within the next 5 days, though it's continuing current itineraries until they're completed. This comes after two of its ships carried passengers who ended up testing positive for the virus, and one of those ships just docked this week in California. It took 3 days to disembark. And Viking Cruise is not immediately halting its ships, but says it will do so on May 1st.
Moments after thinking his self-isolation was ending, Texas Senator Republican Ted Cruz learned he has a few more days to go. The Republican learned that someone he had contact with on March 3rd tested positive for the virus, so he will now remain in self-isolation until Tuesday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show, War Now, airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Dozens of well-known conservative leaders signed a letter calling for the censure of Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer after the New York Democrat allegedly threatened Supreme Court Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch last week. Rachel Bovard is a policy director at the Conservative Partnership Institute. She tells Fox News why she is one of those calling on Congress to censure Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer.
Well, a couple of reasons, but to be very clear, Senator Chuck Schumer is the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, and as such, he stood on the steps of the Supreme Court and threatened two sitting Supreme Court justices by name, and that is not only wildly inappropriate and irresponsible, it is, as the Chief Justice pointed out, dangerous. And so a line has to be drawn somewhere. Again, Chuck Schumer is not just a rank-and-file Democrat. He is the leader of Senate Democrats. So if anyone needs to be made an example of here, it's Chuck Schumer, and that's what we're asking for right now.
Former Vice President Joe Biden and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders are set to take the debate stage Sunday night in Washington, D.C. As far as what we can expect in that debate, David Plouffe, former campaign manager for Barack Obama, believes.
Well, first of all, I think it'll be a tough debate for Biden because he's the front runner now. So the moderators, the media members, I doubt they're going to ask Bernie many tough questions. They'll ask Biden tough questions. So it's a chance for us to see how he responds to those and how he pivots.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
We're going to have a great program today on the Sports Guys. In a few minutes, I'll let Bill Wolfson introduce our guest. But First of all, can you believe what the weather has been like? It was up to 71 degrees today, and I saw a few motorcycles this afternoon, a few bikes out there, and I guess everybody waited this morning because it was raining where I was, but this afternoon was beautiful. In any event, we're going to have a beautiful weekend. Let me just tell you what the temperature is. I got the weather up. Tonight, mostly clear, about 35 degrees by tomorrow.
Hold it with your hand.
Okay.
Sunny, high of about 54 degrees. And by Sunday,